mindset that we're asking God for things. And I guess that's cool. Then we get this mindset that we think that, well, the relationship doesn't work unless God's just giving me things all the time. But really, He wants you to give back. He wants you to give first. And that opens an avenue. It creates a venue of interaction. And that's just the way He is. One time, this person told me that they were going to start coming to fellowship. And I says, well, why the change of heart? And the response was rather unique. I had no idea what to expect, but I had to know. And he told me, he said, it's time to grow up. And I said, well, that's cool. And I'm thinking about it now. There's times in our life where we need to grow up, where we need to go with God and grow with God. And I encourage you to develop a mindset like that, where you choose to grow up, where you choose to go with God and let Him guide you. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it really makes sense. It's actually pleasurable. It's not difficult to understand, and it takes a huge amount of pressure off of your own life. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is it that impedes my growth with God? I would answer that with one word, fear. We develop fears, and they become real. They become deadly and real. And then we spend time trying to undo those fears. And honestly, we want to get to the place where we don't have a lot of fear. Now, that's an interesting proposition, because we convince ourselves that things are supposed to be a certain way. Once we have a fear, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, that's the way it's always been. Well, it's been that way for so long, I don't remember what it was like before. And so we get these mindsets, and they become us. But they don't need to become us or remain us. We need to grow up and grow with God and cast them out and remove them. You have the opportunity to do that every day. You do not have to succumb to the fears of the unknown, of your own desires, of somebody else's desires, of situations and predicaments and circumstances. You can go with God. You can move with God. And you can allow God to transpire His will in your life, unimpeded. I like that word, because it ties back to what I just said. What impedes your growth? Joy pointed to her chest, and it's true. It's what you do. It's what you do. But it comes down to that four-letter word, that deadly and ever so real entity called fear. It is available to live your life without fear. I must proclaim that. It's available to not be fearful. That doesn't mean you're not going to be apprehensive. There are innate emotions that man fortunately has, but we do not have to live our lives step by step with fear directing those steps. No. It's an interesting life when you become unshackled. Because then you realize, oh my gosh, I had no idea. There's so much out there. The systems of the world are designed to capture you and to contain you. And very seldom does one come along who really doesn't abide by that. As long as you're contained within the systems of the world, you're going to have to deal with it. That's not to say that the systems are all bad. But it is to say that if you're dealing with constraints in your own personal development and fears, that you might want to temper your reliance on system sufficiency. In other words, whatever system you're in, it giving you everything you need. That's misdirected. That's misguided. Because we are always and only to go to God. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Proverbs 3:1. We learn that walking with God is a matter of the heart. Well, walking away from God is a matter of the heart. It stands to reason. So this is why when I say what impedes you, the tap on the chest makes perfect sense. Because it's up to us to choose which way to go. Now we know that. But do we really? And when I say that, when I ask that, I mean, do you apply it? That becomes a critical question, perhaps a milestone in your journey. Do you apply it? When it's screaming at you to step its way, to put your feet in the footsteps of fear, rather in the footsteps of your Lord and Savior, it's a very tangible grasp. And so do you apply it at that second, at that moment, with full assurance that that's what you're supposed to do? Verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." The commandments of God, i.e. the word of God, will benefit you in a multiplicity of ways. The attachment of fear will detract from what God can provide you and from these wonderful benefits in a multiplicity of ways. You have to realize if you're going to choose to walk after fear, and you know when you do, you don't have to have somebody telling you. You know, this is the beauty of the Christian walk. I told you last week, I said, and we'll see this again, you know, we look at, "And he shall direct thy steps, he shall direct thy paths," from perhaps the wrong perspective. Instead of always hoping that maybe one day God will direct you, well, I told you, I said, we're already here. He's already directed you. Well, if he's already directed you, you're there. What is this whimsical desire that maybe someday God's finally going to touch your life? And so when you see, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee," why can't we say that they have been added? Why can't we change our perspective and become, well, abundance-minded, benefit-minded, instead of lack. Instead of being without, let us say we have. Let us say we've obtained for length of days. Well, thank God you're still alive. You know people that have died younger than you. And long life. Maybe we have yet to see that one. Maybe not. And peace. You cry for peace. But you know the person next to you has no peace. And so what is your comparative? You have Jesus Christ within you. He is your Lord, and He is the Prince of Peace. And so when the Word says, by you keeping the commandments within your heart, you shall have peace, I think that you obeyed the commandment. Confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. I think that we could change our perspective and look at it from a totally different angle and understand that we've obtained, that we are not filled with lack. That's a misnomer. That means you'd be empty. That we have God's abundance flourishes within us. These things have been added to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. How could mercy possibly forsake you when you've been born again? You see, you must walk a fine line between an Old Testament and a New Testament mindset. Mercy cannot forsake us because God is the God of mercy and He dwells within us. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thine heart. When you are born again, you are circumcised in the heart. And when God works His wonder within you, it is in part a matter of the heart. There are wondrous things that have transpired in your heart because of Christianity. And so, there are wondrous writings and scripts and narratives already indelled upon the tables of your heart. They're there. They are bound to you. There's a very fine line between Old Testament and New Testament mindset. I recommend we get on the other side of Calvary, as I have often said. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God being first, man being subjugated to all things of God. Well, I would propose that you have found favor with God. I would propose that you have found good understanding with God. Well, He understands you. Ephesians speaks quite loudly to that. And I believe that you, because of God's grace, are His favorite. And I've taught that unendingly, especially regarding abundant sharing and the grace of giving. I propose that we watch that fine line between old and new, and that we change our perspective. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Your heart is not the heart of an Old Testament believer. It doesn't work the same way. It's been redesigned. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you activated something magical, something spiritual. And when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you believe something that most people today in the churches never hear. Oh, they hear something that sounds like that, but it's not that. And don't think for a minute that it can ever be substituted for that. When you believe in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus the Son from the dead, you were instantly remodeled. It just happened. And so when you read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you now know that the heart that you're using is the heart of God. The heart that you're using is the home of God. The heart that you're using is an entity preserved in a most unique way for the very throne of God. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart means to you as a Christian, recognize what took place. Again, the impetus to change your perspective. It's already happened. All these things have already happened. And lean not into thine own understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, according to Ephesians, that you may know. And these knowledge bases are transpirations already in place. You are filled with understanding. You have been gifted with Holy Spirit. And because of that, you don't have to beg for things anymore. When you read, God gives you what you need. When you hear, God gives you what you need. When you see, God gives you what you need. When you walk, God gives you what you need. You don't have to go begging or even asking for understanding. Just go with God and grow with Him. You see, this is the beauty of recognizing who you are. And this is the beauty of understanding that you don't have to follow in those footsteps of fear. Rather, you can follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And He took you to that throne. And so as you do that, you find that you have the ability to choose, to determine the outcome in any given situation. All too often, we label things as spiritual. Oh, there's devil spirit involved in that. Satan did that. It's like, really? How do you know that? I mean, come on, guys. Let's get real about this. You know, God's word has millions of words in it, let's say. And out of all of that, very seldom do you hear Him saying, well, the reason that somebody doesn't have understanding or trust or mercy or length of days or whatever it is, I mean, it's just an exhaustible list. Very seldom do you hear Him say, well, Satan caused that. Well, why would we say that? If we really want to go with God and grow with God, shouldn't we just choose to and go and grow? His home is central to our very breath. And so there's an axiom there that has the ability to transpire without much effort on your part at all. Just walk. Just look. Just listen. Just speak. Just think. Just breathe. And it's there for you. Now that is unshackled. But if you choose to follow the deadly footprints of fear, it will be very difficult for you to partake in the very life steps of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a choice. Not very often is Satan to blame for what you go through. In fact, he can't stand being around you. And I'll proclaim that until the day I die. When he sees you, all he sees is light. He can't even stand to be around you. He just can't. Well, I said, what changed your mind? And he said, well, I want to grow up. It's time to grow up. Verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Now, I'm going to let you change your perspective on that one. I've told you how to do it. And you can pick those words out, life unto thy soul. Well, you know that you're born again. And you know you can think that because of that, it's given you life. You're complete. Well, before you were just two parts, body and soul. Now you're body, soul, and spirit. So you can start to work that change of perspective and accept what has already happened. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Why is it that we want to believe, that we strive to believe, that we seek to believe, that we endeavor to believe, that we plod through life groping in hopes that maybe we're not safe, that we cling to the pebbles of unbelief that are strewn from no stumble at all? Why would we say that we're not safe and that we stumble? You're always safe. Why would you fear that you're not? Because you want to? That's why I asked, why? Do you just want to? Do you want to endeavor to do that? To grope for that? You don't stumble. Why would you even think that you do? Why would you even act like you do? Why would you call yourself a stumbler in your own beliefs? I don't know. All I know is when I look at you, you ain't stumbling. You're standing. You're not stumbling. You're standing. I don't care what you go through, you're not stumbling. You're standing. You're a standing believer. And if you think about it, you have to accept that. You're not stumbling. When did you stumble last? Well, I don't know. You mean like stumble? Like bloody my knees up? You mean like bust my nose on the pavement? Stumble? I don't think that's ever happened. It's all perspective. What do you think about you? How much does fear cling to your heels? Saying, put your foot there, put your foot there, Put your foot there. Be afraid. You're not safe. You're a stumbler. I don't know. I guess it can try to do that, but what? I'm not stumbling. I'm going too fast to stumble. I'm standing. I'm taking people with me. I'm showing them how to stand. We're standers. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Do you lie down? We all lie down. You have to. You got to get your rest. Thou shalt not be afraid. What is it that you have to be afraid of? Now let me ask you this. What has happened to you at any time that you've ever laid down that hurt you? You know, you're fearing something and then it came and happened. The boogeyman out of the closet, the monster under the bed, whatever it is. When were you ever afflicted by that thing you were fearing once you laid down? There are cases of which do not apply to you where people get tormented by devil spirits. Why you would want to equate that to your pristine, merciful, holy life, I have no idea. Because I know Satan can't stand being around you. You're light. No darkness at all. Unless you're clinging to the footsteps of fear and convincing yourself that you're supposed to be afraid. When you lie down, you have no reason to fear. It's never happened, whatever it is. And you have the ability to choose. You can follow the footsteps of fear, or the footsteps of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He walked all the way to the throne of God. And if you have to, you trace every one of those steps right up to heaven. But don't lose that mindset. And don't think that you have to hold on to anything related to fear. You don't. It doesn't make you a better person to have just that smidgen of fear every day. I'm not going to let go of all my fears. I think it makes me a tougher person. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with that at all. I think you should let them all go and stand. Be not afraid of sudden fear, like when the cat jumps out at you or the little pests that run around. Yeah, one time we had a rat that ran through our living room. I didn't see it. Lynn did. She said, "You got to get rid of that rat." And I said, "What rat?" I mean, I didn't want to believe it. But there was a rat in the house, and she can smell those things. I don't know how. I don't smell anything. I said, "Okay, I've learned my lesson long enough." And so I got a rat trap out and put it over there against the wall that night, and I got a big old fat rat. And it's because the door back there is busted, and they get in. And anyway, killed the rat. Well, she was afraid of the rat. I wasn't afraid of the rat. I just wanted to kill it. It's dead and gone now. Be not afraid of sudden fear, though. It didn't take me anywhere. I said, "Okay, we'll get rid of it." Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Again, use the opposite perspective. Hasn't he already done that? Your foot's not been taken, my friends. You're okay. Go with God. Grow with God. No excuses. and understand that you're the most brilliant light there is. You can't be outdone. You share all of those attributes. Whatever comes from the throne of God is within you. Do you think that Satan has power over that? No. He can go up and beg. He can accuse the brethren, it says, but he can't get away with it. And so you just got to believe that. Amen and amen. Thank you. You're welcome.